We've all done things that we're not proud of. In fact, I don't think I've met a single person who is satisfied with every choice that he or she made. I've been there too. I've committed acts that I'm not proud of. I've done wrong things, even when I knew better. But one choice that I won't regret making is the choice to become a Christian. As a child of God, I have the hope of eternal life. The Lord forgave me of my sins when I chose to become one of His followers. You cannot be saved without choosing to follow God. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, why not? Why are you not a Christian? I hope that this sermon will benefit all of us. Hopefully this sermon will motivate somebody to obey the gospel. But for those who have already become Christians, this sermon may help us to understand why it's so important for us to be to be followers of God, and why there are no proper excuses for us to lose our faith. So, if you're not a Christian, why? Is it because you don't think that you are lost? If you lived your life perfectly, without committing one sin, you would not need to be saved. But all of us have sinned. Let's be clear that none of us deserve to go to heaven. Obeying the gospel does not make somebody worthy of heaven, but rather it gives us the hope of heaven. Well, I'm a good person morally, some say, and I've known many morally good people. It's important to have good morals as a Christian, but morals alone will not save somebody. If you would please open your Bibles with me and turn to Acts chapter 10, starting verse 1. Acts chapter 10, starting verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian Regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." In order to be saved, one must do the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Well, I'm already saved, some may say. However, convincing yourself that you have been saved does not mean that you have been saved. Many have been deceived by false teachers. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." There's this popular belief of faith only. But one is not saved by faith only. Faith is important, but faith alone will not save you. James chapter 2, verse 24. "You see then that a man is justified by his works, and not by faith only." Again, in order to be saved, one must do the will of the Father, not the will of a false teacher. Why are you not a Christian? Is it because that you think you're too young to be saved? First off, little ones like Addison or Ethan are not lost. They do not need to be saved. I cannot exactly say at what age one becomes accountable. Some say 12. I can't decide that. But when you know right from wrong and then have sinned, you are lost and you need to be saved. If you're old enough to be guilty of sin, you are not too young to be a Christian. It's too late to be saved, someone might say. But remember, God wants everyone to be saved, young and old. Why don't you turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By obeying the gospel, God has forgiven you of your sins, no matter how old you are. And since God will forgive you of all of your sins, you should not think that you're too wicked to be saved. If you really think you're too wicked to be saved, consider those who crucified Jesus. Like all other Christians, they too were forgiven of their sins. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Let's also not forget about the man who persecuted Christians, who even put some to death. That very man became an apostle of God. As wicked as some people may be, God loves all of his children. Remember, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but God loved us so much that he gave us his Son as a Savior. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus answered and said to them, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Changing your ways and habits may sound difficult, but do not fall into the trap of thinking that it's impossible to live as a Christian. This verse is quoted frequently, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're going to face difficult times in your life by choosing to live as a Christian. But remember, you are never alone in the fight. God will never turn his back on you. In high school, I chose not to be like the majority. I didn't use bad language. I didn't attend dances or drinking parties. Some give me a hard time for that. Yes. But do I regret making those choices? Absolutely not. I'd rather suffer persecution for being a Christian than suffer consequences for being a sinner. That's all the more reason to not be afraid of what others will say. Yes, you're going to be different. You're going to stick out. You're not going to be like everybody else. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flow of disposition, speaking evil of you. Yes, we're going to be persecuted, but that does not mean that we should get caught up in the moment and forget what our goal is. Turn with me out to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, which reads, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revel and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, we must all make a choice to either serve God or the world. We can't have it both ways. No man can serve two masters, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. As Christians, we cannot love and long for things which are evil. Would please turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You might be asking yourself, is it possible for me to be a Christian and keep my job? Let's first off understand that God commands that men work. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, which reads, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." We all need to work to support our families. And there are plenty of legitimate occupations that should not interfere with your relationship with God. There are, however, jobs that cannot be held by Christians. And if your job prevents you from becoming a Christian, do not allow to do so. Change jobs if you have to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Yes, God must come first in our lives. And that is not always easy to do, especially if your parents are not Christians. You are your own person. I am my own person. I make my own choices. My parents did not force me to obey the gospel. They definitely had a good influence on me, but I made the choice on my own. Your parents are human. They make mistakes. You shouldn't follow your parents in what is wrong. We should honor and love our parents, but we need to love Christ more. Why don't you turn with me now to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, which reads, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." There is nothing more important than being a child of God. So, why would you wait to be one? Is it because you're waiting for someone else? Some might wait for their older sibling to be baptized. Or some might wait for a gospel meeting with a certain preacher. Yet by doing that, one is putting their very soul in danger. We all remember when Keith Greer would go to the Philippines to evangelize. He still goes, but he's made it a policy to not baptize in that country. Now, don't misunderstand. He encourages others to baptize, but he personally will not. Why? One person in the Philippines apparently wanted to be baptized by Keith and made the mistake of waiting for his next visit. And sadly, the person died in an accident before Brother Gru's arrival. You know, it really doesn't matter who baptizes you. And it doesn't matter how many people from your family are Christians. What matters is that you become aware of your sin and you immediately seek the cure. If you lose your soul as a result of waiting for someone, you will forever wonder in eternal death why you didn't accept Christ's invitation immediately. Psalm 95, verses 7 through 8. "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." But maybe you're not waiting for someone else. Maybe you're waiting for a special call. The problem with waiting for that is because Jesus has already given that special call. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, reads, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Our only source of finding Jesus is in the Word. However, the Word is all we need to know how we can be saved. And that's why it's so important for us to study the Scriptures. When you study the Bible, you soon realize that there is much more to learn about the Bible than what you first expected. Maybe that's why you haven't obeyed the gospel. You think that you don't know enough. But remember, that the apostles often preached to heathens who did not know God, yet became obedient to the faith. You also have to understand that God does not expect you to know everything about the Bible when you obey the gospel. But through experience and study of the scriptures, in time, you will grow stronger. Why are you not a Christian? Is it because you don't want to be saved? Do you really want to go to hell? Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. You really want to go there? Me neither. And above all, don't you want to go to heaven? Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You want to go there? Me too. I'll be a Christian someday, you might say, but not today. Do you really think you have that much time? Tomorrow comes, it's because of God's will. You don't know when you're going to die. You also don't know when Jesus will come back, but it will happen. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. 5 months ago, two boys who attended my school took one of their dad's car out for a joyride. Before the day was over, both died in an accident. Neither one of those boys lived to start their sophomore year. They didn't know that that day would be the last day of their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, none of you know when your death will come, but it will come. One day, you will hear your last invitation. One day, you will say your last prayer. One day, you will attend worship services for the last time. If you're here and you're not a child of God, remember, the thing that you still have plenty of time is a foolish approach. It isn't worth putting your soul at stake. Now that you've heard the word of God, you must believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins, and remain faithful until death. If you have fallen away, God pleads for you to come home. We will pray with you and for you so you can once again become a follower of God. If we can help you in any way, please come forward while together we stand and sing.